Sketch Out to America's Radio Newsline. Standing by, Scott Mandia, professor of physical science at Suffolk County Community College, has been teaching weather and climate courses for over 20 years. Scott, welcome back. It's been too long, sir.
Well, hey, thanks for having me back. And I want to congratulate all the Washington Caps hockey fans out there. My office mate's a Bruins fan, so I was living that heart attack that was that series. What an amazing series.
Nice. Well, let me ask you this, too. Were you watching the NFL draft yesterday?
No. Unfortunately, I was doing work.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, you got to do that. The reason why we brought you on is that there was a story circulating that it was generating from an MSNBC interview where a guy, I'm sure you're familiar with, a guy named James Lovelock, he has penned a couple of books, several books, actually. They were entitled The Revenge of Gaia, Why Earth is Fighting Back, and How We Can Still Save Humanity in the Vanishing Face of Gaia, A Final Warning. Mr. Lovelock, a longtime advocate of the theory of man-made global warming, now at age 92, Mr. Lovelock changing his position, saying he was a bit of an alarmist, none of his predictions came true, and he's reversing course. He's going to write a book outlining this, and he is getting hammered by a lot of left-wing sites on the internet for his reversal. What say you?
Well, he actually was pretty much on the edge of that limb as far as the end of the world scenario by the end of the century. He was pretty much the only guy that was saying that. What he's really done is he's walked back to the mainstream view that humans are causing climate change, but we're not going to all be crowding around the Arctic and the North Pole. So he's actually reeled himself in, which I think is very good.
Yeah, here was the quote. We thought we knew 20 years ago. That led to some alarmist books, mine included, because it looked clear-cut, but it hasn't happened. He was lamenting the fact that, at least from his point of view, that temperatures have remained consistent from the year 2000. And he was lamenting the fact that, you know, we should be halfway toward frying the world by now, and that hasn't happened. So you're saying he was an extremist to begin with.
Right. I mean, the physics tells us that we're not going to fry halfway through. And he's a very smart guy. He's a phenomenal biologist, but he hasn't published any climate science-related science papers. He's published his book. And so you got to go with what the experts who are doing the research or are publishing. It'd be kind of like if all the health experts tell you you need to eat right, exercise, whatever, and then a book comes out and it says, you know what, sitting down, watching hockey, drinking beer, and eating a lot of wings, you're going to live longer and lose weight. You want that to be true, but you know it's probably not true. And it's in a book, but you would never see that in a, you know, an expert nutrition journal, for example.
So what is true? What is the truth?
What is the truth? Well, the truth is the planet is warming. Humans are causing it because we're putting CO2 into the atmosphere, and that traps heat, just like putting extra blankets on at night. And you can see that because it's getting warmer at night. It's getting warmer during winter. It's getting warmer at the poles. That suggests that we're just not losing heat to space as much. It's not the sun, or we'd be warming during the day. And we're already seeing some of the impacts of that: floods, heat waves, drought, fires. And, you know, we're going to continue to warm, and these risks are going to increase. And basically what it comes down to is money out of our pocket to try to mitigate and adapt to these risks.
So
it's really all about money, basically. It's going to cost us more if we keep our heads in the sand.
Scott Mandia is our guest. He's a professor of physical sciences at Suffolk County Community College and teaching weather and climate courses for over 20 years. So if this is the fact and this is the settled science, why is it that some folks, particularly, it seems to be a political issue, Why are folks saying it's not settled science?
Well, the folks that are saying it's not settled science aren't the experts. They're the people, again, who don't want this to be true because we are going to have to change the way we do things. But the good news is, and I'm actually going to do a talk tonight at my college for the public, is that one of the ways to solve the problem is energy efficiency. And I'm going to show tonight how, even though here on Long Island, I think after California, you have the second highest electric rates, I've cut my electric bill in half just by doing some simple things like hanging my clothes in a line, using CFL bulbs, putting solar lights instead of the plugged-in ones, turning down my oil burner, wrapping the pipes, having programmable thermostats. All of these things, I'm actually saving money. Actually, the big one was I just got a new refrigerator. That's going to pay for itself in 4 years. And Scott, it's cool because when you open the door, there are LED lights in there, which look kind of space age.
Nice.
Kind of cool.
So, Scott, let me ask you this. I mean, back in the 70s, the conventional wisdom from science back then was that the CO2 being emitted into the atmosphere was going to cause a global chill, a new ice age to settle over the Earth. Then the folks who are along the lines of your way of thinking challenged that science and say, no, the CO2 is not going to cause cooling, it's going to cause warming. So There seemed to be a scientific battle. One batch of scientists saying one thing, and the other batch of scientists saying another. And now we seem to be having like Mr. Lovelock and some other folks that are coming out and saying, well, we can't dismiss the sun's role in the climate's temperature or water vapor's role in the climate's temperature. Do you see maybe in the future that there might be an expansion of human knowledge that might lead to another, I don't know, reversal of science the same way we saw from the 70s to the current mode of thinking?
Well, actually, in the 70s, it was a Newsweek article that put that on the cover. But if you actually look at the scientific literature in the 70s, scientists actually were talking about the warming. And before then, the group that actually proved about CO2 trapping heat was the United States Air Force, because their heat-seeking missiles, they couldn't target the planes because the CO2 between their target and the head of the missile was getting in the way. So they actually studied this so we could figure it out. The evidence is overwhelming. The real question is, how much warmer is it going to get, and what are the impacts? So what we should be talking about is, how do we solve it? And that's where I think we need to have the conversation, because nobody wants the government to tell us what to do. So the sooner we act, the more we're going to get free markets and individuals making those choices. If we keep waiting, then the government's going to have to step in and force us to do things maybe we don't want to do.
But you mentioned the military. Is it true that the military is concerned about global warming as an actual national security issue?
Oh, actually, they're leading the way. They think about it. When you have these tanks that get 8 gallons of gas per mile, you've got these massive supply lines. Their troops are sitting ducks in the Middle East. So now they're actually trying to limit those supply lines. They have solar. They actually have tents now that have solar on them so they can do communications without having these longer supply lines.
Well, our troops, as a matter of fact, to charge their iPods, they have those little solar panels that charge their electronic devices out there in the sand, because it's hard to find an outlet to plug into.
Well, that is true.
Scott Mandy, a professor of physical sciences at Suffolk County Community College. He's been teaching weather and climate courses over 20 years. Where's your talk tonight, by the way?
I'll be doing it at Suffolk County Community College. It's at 7 o'clock if I have some New York listeners out there.
Yeah.
And it's at Selden, New York, in the Smithtown Science Building, Ammerman Campus.
Open to the public, sir, yes?
Yes, and it's called Climate Change, What Does It Mean for New York? So I'm going to focus on the impacts here. And for us, primarily sea level rise and hurricanes are the biggies for us.
Scott,
here.
It's a pleasure as always, sir.
Thank you very much for having me.
You betcha. PBS sees its funding from the National Endowment for the Arts cut. Molly Page has more from the National Desk here at America's Radio News.
The National Endowment for the Arts has awarded significantly smaller grants to established PBS programs this year. Live from Lincoln Center received no funding